Morning. Today's daf in Gittin is Samech Aleph. We are on Samech Amud Beis. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsoring the daf. As long as you have Nishmas Libig Arviel Bashmuel. We begin the Gemara today where we left off yesterday, and that is discussion of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Gemara got into some of the more fundamental issues that regarding the breakup Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaalpeh. Got there because of a Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about various takanas that were made for purposes of Dar Cheshom, to keep the peace. Make sure that we all get along and we all somehow manage with one another. So when you go to Shul on Shabbos, and the Gemara said not so much Monday and Thursdays, but as we discussed yesterday, attendance in Shul on Mondays and Thursdays used to be pretty weak. So really the Iker Takana was made for Shabbos, and that is on Shabbos, so that and Yontif. So you should have an order in terms of the Liyah. The first one should be Kohen, second one should be Levi, and the third one should be Yisrael. And then after that point in time, the Gemara gives some sort of pecking order towards the Aliyahs. On Shabbos, who gets first, who gets Shlishi, who gets Revi. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. But the Mishnah commented that that's one of the institutions that were made for Darchei Shalom. As long as the Torah got the opportunity to speak a little bit about the Torah itself, some basic questions that we raised yesterday, can we learn from a Chumash? Again, the word Chumash, that word I'm using now, is not the Chumashim that we have in Shul. Those are bound books. The Gemara didn't know from bound books. The Gemara only knew from scrolls. So one of the questions was, if I have, let's say, Chumash Brachos, if I have, instead of a Sefer Torah with Chamisha Chumash Torah, I have a Sefer Torah with only Brachos. So can I learn from that? So is that a violation of Kavod HaTzibur? The Gemara's conclusion was, yes, that's a violation of Kavod HaTzibur. You can't do that. Gemara then went into some very basic issues yesterday, and that is, how was the Torah written when Moshe Rabbeinu recorded the Torah in the Midbar? So did he write it sectionally as they were going through the Midbar, or was it written all together in one unit at the end of his life? So that was a machlokas hamarayim between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of how the Torah was done. Gemara brought it up because as long as we were talking about sectional Torah, so the Gemara says let's analyze this. It came part of a question yesterday in terms of, can we break apart the Torah in order to teach it to children? So in other words, educationally, you know, the child can't. It's too much. The whole Chumash is too much. So can you break it down for the purpose of education? So the Gemara says that really, maybe you could have thought to link the question with the Machlokas of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but the Gemara said no. Don't link those two together. And then the Gemara then went into even a bigger question, and that is that we know Torah is made up of two parts, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaalpeh, and which part's bigger? It's a funny question. It's hard to formulate exactly what the Gemara is asking, but the Gemara is asking which one's bigger, and this also turned into a machlokas whether or not the Torah Shebichsav is larger than the Torah Shebaalpeh. The Torah Shebaalpeh is larger than the Torah Shebichsav, and obviously, in understanding the Gemara, you have to know what the Gemara means exactly when the Gemara is describing Torah Shebichsav and what the Gemara means when it's describing Torah Shebaalpeh. So that is some of the most basic discussions that we had in yesterday's daf and daf samach. We are now on Samach Amud Beis, and we're continuing right where we left off yesterday. We are towards the top of the Amud. All right, we did not get to the two dots yesterday. Okay, the Darsh Rav Yehuda Bar Nachmeni Mitur Gamne de Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. Okay, so the Gemara Kori cites a drasha. So the Ksiv Kasav Lachas Advar Ma'ila Uksiv Ki Api Advar Ma'ila. So we have somewhat of a steer between the two pesukim. One pasuk describes that when the Torah is meant to be written down, that's Kasav Lachas Advar Ma'ila. The other pasuk says Ki Api Advar Ma'ila. So Api means Aper. So which one is it? Aketa Dvarim Shebichsav Yatavar Shalom Ram Aper Dvarim Shebapeh Yatavar Shalom Ram Bichsav. So the Gemara over here says that there has to be there has to be an understanding that Torah Shebichsav is meant to be written down, and you can't say Ba'peh. Torah Shebapeh is meant to be said Ba'peh, and as a result of that, you can't write it down. So we seem to be successfully violating both of those rules nowadays. Right, the Torah Shebichsav we say by heart. Right, it's best obviously to daven from a siddur, but you know, sometimes you daven and you're not davening from a siddur, and you're saying the Parshios of Shema, you're saying the Pesukah of Zimra. Those are all Torah Shebichsav, and you're saying it ba'peh. So, the other obvious point is that we're learning Gemara right now, and Gemara is Torah Shebichsav, and so why do all of us have Sfarim in front of us and it's written down, and I'm following along like you are. So we seem to be violating both of them successfully. So quick comment on both. So in terms of the Torah Shebichsav that we say by heart, so already the Rishonim are bothered by that. The Rishonim, there's a Tosus in Temur. The same Gemara we're learning right now is also in Temur as well. So Tosus in Temur discusses it in terms of how people... It's accepted. It's makubal that people say psukim by heart. How can you do that when the Gemara over here says that clearly Torah Shebichsav is not to be said ba'peh? So Tosfos says maybe it's a suggestion by Tosfos that maybe the rule that you're not allowed to say it by heart is only when you're being motzi other people. But if you're saying it just for yourself, so Tosfos says so maybe it would not be a violation of this rule, and maybe you'd be allowed to. Maybe allowed to say it by heart. That's one suggestion Tosfos makes over there, over in the Gemara and Temura, and there are other suggestions as well. Meaning that this issue is a well discussed issue. On the other side of the question, how can you write down Torah Shabbat Peh, which is what we have done? So you don't have to blame us. This is something that's done already for nearly 2,000 years. Over 2,000 years already during Bais Sheni. So how is that written down? So the answer to that has to be what we saw yesterday. The Gemara says that sometimes you realize, you understand that even though in its principal position Torah Shabbat Peh is meant to be transmitted orally from Rebbe to Talmud, but nevertheless you understand that it couldn't work that way. And sometimes it's a pasuk. The Gemara quoted yesterday on the Amud Aleph. Sometimes there are times. Hey, Feris or Secha, we have to be made for the Torah. We have to abrogate the Torah. And this is one of those times where we understand that the Gemara, on one hand, the Gemara is not meant to be written down. On the other hand, we, in order for us to function, in order for us to successfully pass it down, so it has to be committed to writing. And anyway, that's the those are the two basic. Two basic approaches to what is a very basic issue. Continuing the Gemara debate, Rabbi Shmuel Tanu Eila. You write this down, but you don't write down halachas. This is a similar idea that you only write down what was meant to be written down, but the halachas. Halachas meaning the Torah Shabbat Peh, the halachas of Moshe Mitzrayim. So that was not meant to be written down. Amar Rav Yochanan lo karos HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris im Yisrael, ela b'shvil dvarim Shabbat Peh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with us and we made a covenant to keep the Torah, principally, primarily, the bris was on Torah Shabbat Peh. Shenemar ki api hadvarim ha'ela, karsi itcha bris ve'es Yisrael. Api advir ma'ila, meaning the Torah Shabbat Peh, that's where we made the bris between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, much discussed on that line of Gemara, why specifically the Torah Shabbat Peh as opposed to the Torah Shebichsav, where we made the covenant. But say a simple pshat in the Gemara, we could go back to what we said yesterday. Meaning, what's more difficult? The Gemara said yesterday, Torah Shabbat Peh is more difficult than Torah Shebichsav. It just is, right? And we're all involved in the learning of Gemara. We know that learning Gemara is difficult. So when you have to make a covenant, you have to make it on the easier, you have to make it on the hard. So yeah, we have to make it on something which is more taxing and more difficult. So that's a simple pshat we could say in the Gemara. Let's move along. We're on Samech Amud Beis. We're at the two dots in the middle of the Amud, and we're up to the next takana of the Mishnah. So now we're switching gears. We're changing topics. Ma'arvim bebayis yashim imnei darkei shalom. Remember, in order to be able to carry on Shabbos in a private domain of Rishos Yachid, so you're good. Meaning, if you're living in a house and you want to carry from one place in the house and the other place in the house, there's no problem. The violation of Shabbos in terms of Otsah is only when I carry from a Rishos Yachid to Rishos Arabim, or if I carry Dalamas to Rishos Arabim. But right now, we're talking about transferring Rishos. We're talking about Otsah, we're talking about Achnasa. So if I carry from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Arabim, that's a violation of Shabbos, and vice versa. If I go from the Rishos Arabim, from the public domain, into Rishos Yachid. Meanwhile, the Chachamim said that if I have one area that enters into another area, even if they're both Rishuyos HaYachid, even if they're both technically private domains, but if one's owned by one, another is owned by another, if one's owned by one and the other is shared by others, so then you need, in order to carry from one to another, you need an Eruv. You need to bring everyone together. How do you bring everyone together? So food. Food is the ultimate binder. So everyone contributes food, Let's speak specifically about bread. Bread's the easiest way to describe it. So everyone's going to contribute bread, put it in a communal Erev basket, and that communal Erev basket then is going to be placed in somebody's house. whose house is it going to be placed in? So al pi halacha, could be anybody's house, as long as it's somebody who's living within the chatzir. So it could be put in anyone's house. So the Mishnah says, here's another opportunity where people can fight, not that we're encouraging it. In fact, just the opposite, we're discouraging it. So now whose house is it going to go into? So that's what the Mishnah is about to teach us. Should be in the same house. That's the Darche Shalom institution of our Mishnah. My time, Mom. So the Gemara says, now why should that be? In other words, why same house? So Elam and Mishim Kavod, the Gemara says, now if it's a function of Kavod, that it's an honor to the Baal Bais to have it always in his house. The Gemara says, but that's not really true. How is she poor? Dava mikara be Rav Yehuda, ulevesof be Rabba, ulevesof be Rav Yosef, ulevesof be Abai, ulevesof be Rava. The shofar kept moving around from place to place. First of all, which shofar are we talking about? So Rashi over here suggests a pshat. Rashi says that tkiyas an erev Shabbos. So in Yerushalayim, you have this. I think in Muncie you have this. So the I think it's true. The but on erev Shabbos they blew shofar. They wanted people to know the Shabbos is coming, so they blew shofar a number of times in order to inform people that Shabbos was coming. So the shofar that was used for blowing, so that was kept in not one person's house, but it was passed around. So clearly, and Rashi by the way says another pshat as well. But anyway, let's just okay. The we'll stay with this first shot. Either way, the point is that you see that the shofar's passed around from house to house. It's not an issue of coven. So the Gemara says, so now that we dismiss that possibility, so what's the issue? So the Ela Mishum Chashada. So the Gemara says we're worried about chashad. We're worried about suspicion. What's the suspicion that we're worried about? Once again, we turn to Rashi. Rashi writes, Hol v'hurgal ha'erev b'soch oso abayis. Because look. The Erev Chatzeros is placed in the same person's house every Shabbos. And we're all used to it. And we're all creatures of habit. And now, in Bat Lishano says, Mekamah, Nechnasim Loso Abayis, V'liyur Shamas HaErev. Now, somebody goes in there, and what do they expect to see? I expect to see a basket with bread in the basket, which was a collected communal Erev from the entire community. And I don't see it there. And Yechashu is B'nei HaChatzer, Shematatum Lo Erev. So now, Chshad over here means, I suspect that this Chatzer, I see everyone carrying, and they're carrying without an Erev. And that's a... And now you're now within suspicion. You're no longer above suspicion. You're now within suspicion. And the generally speaking, we have to be above reproach. We have to be above suspicion, even if we're in the correct. Meaning, where's the Erev right now? Somebody else's house. Somebody else. The Shabbos is hosting the Erev. So, but still, even though that's true, but everyone expects it to see it in that person's house. That's where it always is. It's not there. Now, the community, this particular chatzer, is now within suspicion, and we have to be above it.
Understood.
Right. If the original minhag, I agree with you. If the original minhag was that to move it around from house to house, so then right. So then this problem would never have generated. I agreed. Itmar b'nei Nahara Rav Amar Tasai Shasu Maya Bereisha Shmuel Amar Eli Shasu Maya Bereisha. Okay. I'm sorry. Borshu Karav Lama. Okay. Next takana up for discussion in the Mishnah is the pit, and the discussion of the pit is that it is next to a canal. There's a water canal. It's a that here in Florida we know plenty of. It's the next part that we don't know much of, and that is a flowing water canal. It does flow. It just but if you have a canal, so now you have many properties that are adjacent that are contiguous to the canal, and now it's a question of who has the right to divert the water into their field. Obviously, you want the water from the canal to irrigate your field, so who has the right to do so? So, with that stated, Itmar b'nei Nahara. It was said over. Rav Amar Tasai Shasu Maya Bereisha. So Rav says that obviously the river is flowing in one direction. The people at the bottom of the river are entitled to draw the water first, meaning divert the water from the canal they have like little cisterns on the side of the river. Shmuel Amar Eli Shasu Maya Bereisha. And Shmuel says, no, that the people that are on the top of the river, so at the, where the, right, where it's coming, right, exactly. Where it's coming from the source, so they're the ones who are allowed to divert the water first. Now, Bida Mezel, the Gemara qualifies this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Bida Mezel, if the water has an excellent current, and it's a strong current, so Kuli Amalo Pligi, so the Gemara says at that point in time, there is not going to be any machlokas whatsoever. So,
there's enough water for
everything. Right. So, right, the anyone who wants anyone who would like to divert the water is entitled to do so. Ki pligi b'mezchar v'ashkuye. So the Gemara says the only machlokas over here is limited to the following: if I divert the water, that's going to adversely affect the other people from getting a good enough water supply. The way Rashi presents it, she'ein bo kedei ladalos kulan yachad. So right, it's I don't know how people showers are in various houses, but in some houses, right, two or three people can't shower at the same time. So similarly, I mean, if your situation's like that, so similarly, Rashi describes it's not a strong current, and now not everyone can draw from it at the same time. And so the people are higher up on the river, so they want to divert the river into their property. But if they do so, then there's not going to be like much water flow going down to the lower river. So basically, whoever's going to be diverting the river is going to get the full force of the river, and everyone else is going to really lose out. So now we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So, and the Gemara explains with the both sides of machlokas. Shmuel amari la shasa maya bereisha damri anamar kavin etzvei. So Shmuel says, I'll give you a very simple svara. The people at the top of the river, they're allowed to divert first. Why? Because the river is approaching their property first. Meaning, right the location. We are at the head of the river. The river hits our property first. Therefore, we're entitled to divert it first. Rav amatasai shasa maya bereisha damri. And Rav says, no, I'll give you a svara. Svara is, let nature take its course. By you at the top of the river, diverting the river, so you are manipulating nature, and that's not where the river wants to go. The river wants to flow downstream. And now what you're doing is, you're manipulating. You are taking nature off of its course, and you can't do that. Not at my expense. Tanan the Gemara now goes and presents the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Bora karav la'ama mitmala rishon mibnei darkei shalom." Now the Mishnah seems to be a very strong support for Shmuel. Shmuel says the property that's at the top of the river, not the bottom of the river. So what is Rav going to do with the Mishnah? So not only is Rav going to be defended, but this is one of the best parts of the Gemara. Shmuel is going to defend Rav. Now even though Shmuel's arguing with Rav, but they're not interested in debating, they're interested in discovering the truth. So if Shmuel can defend Rav, he will, because Elu ve'elu. And as long as the position can be defended, it will be defended. So Tirgum Shmuel, Aliba de Rav. So Shmuel's going to defend Rav. So the Gemara says, well, the Mishnah's talking about where it's a strong river, it's a strong flowing river. And under those circumstances, as we pointed out, there really is no machlokas. And in that case, so the top of the river really has the right to take first. It's not going to really adversely influence the other people, but that's what the Mishnah is describing. But the Gemara says, but if that's true, then there's not much of a chiddush in the Mishnah. So So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. There is not much. There is not much of a chiddush, but still, maybe you could make an argument that the people at the lower end of the river will say to the people at the upper end of the river, look, you gotta close your cistern. Meaning, don't divert the water. Because even though there will be water heading to me, but you're going to be diminishing the strength of the river. And maybe you could have thought that the lower one's going to say to the upper one, I need you to close the river. Kamash Malan. The chiddush is of the Mishnah that if there's water enough for everybody, so then the people at the top have every right to open their cistern and divert the water into their property. Now the Gemara admits that we don't have a Mistara. We don't know whether the halacha falls like Rav or like Shmuel. So in a scenario where... Yes, I know. I agree. It should be a din amanus, we should follow Shmuel. The Gemara here doesn't... I don't know why, but the Gemara doesn't say that here. So the Gemara says, look, the halacha is not like Rav, the halacha here is not like Shmuel. So kol de alam gavar. So the Gemara says, so now what's the halacha? The halacha is, right, may the best man win. Right, sometimes within the realm of halacha, so when there's a stalemate, and we don't have rayas for one over the other, so we say kol de alam gavar. There is a rush, a very interesting rush. What kind of svar is that? Let the best man win, or literally, let the strongest man win. Kol de alam gavar. So the rush comments, Rishon says that the svara behind this argument of Kol Da'alam Gavar is that the rightful owner is going to fight hardest for the, you know, for the disputed money.
How come they don't apply this rationale in Balm and Siyam, and that people are fighting with
them? Right, so they have a chazaka. Each one of them has literally a handhold.
They have land that's very, and they've been drawing water from it.
But they don't know. They don't own the river. Right, they don't own the river, and they don't own the water. So it's not a here.
I mean, they've been accessing this water for years.
Okay.
I don't think they knew how to look at it. I mean, if
there's a chazaka, so then we don't say called Alam Gavar, and that's the case in Balm and Siyam over here. There's no chazaka. They normally access the water, but that doesn't mean they have a chazaka. Anyway, so that's the Gemara's conclusion on the topic. Well, I'm saying Darche Shalom is right. Darche, yes, agreed. That's this conclusion is the opposite of Darche Shalom. Agreed. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi also came to Abaye. So Rav Shimi Bar Ashi goes to Abaye Amar Lei Lutzo Mar Bi Idna. So and he makes a very simple proposition. I'd like to learn, and not only would I like to learn, but I'd like to learn with you with a steady chavrusa. Okay, and to have a chavrusa with Abaye, so unbelievably special opportunity. So he asks Abaye, Amalei, is the Eden and Lididi? So Abaye says, I'm really sorry. I just simply don't have the time. So, I'm sorry. So he says, okay, so good. So you don't have time for chavrus during the day. So okay, so there's nighttime. So Amalei isle my lashkui. He says, nighttime, that's when I work. Meaning during the day I'm learning and at night I'm working. So Amalei anamashkana mashkina le lamar maya biyamama velusva mar belaila. So he says, okay, so you have a job to do at night, so I'll take over your job. What do you have to do? You have to irrigate a field? No problem at all. I'll irrigate the field that you need to irrigate during the daytime. You normally do it during the night. Now your night's going to be freed up, and then you'll be able to learn with me. So Amalei lechaye. Okay, so he says, great. Okay. Yeah. He wasn't actually looking for an excuse. It was the truth, and he says, "Fine, you take away my night responsibility. So then we'll learn together." Azoli Eli. So now this guy who's now made himself made Abaye available for him by now taking over Abaye's job of irrigating the field. So here's what he does in order to irrigate the field. So Azoli Eli. So he goes to the people at the top of the river. And Amar Lahu to Sasha Sumaya Beresha, and he says, "Look, I'm really sorry, but the halacha is that you're not entitled to take first. The people at the bottom of the river are entitled to take first, meaning the machlok between Rav and Shmuel. So the halacha is like Rav and not like Shmuel." Okay, so Azal Tasai, and then he goes to the people at the end of the river, and Amar Lahu Elisha Sumaya Beresha, and he says to the people at the lower end of the river, you know, you're not really entitled to take water first. The people at the top of the river, they're entitled to take first. In other words, he's basically telling them the halacha is like Shmuel, not like Rav. Okay, so you realize obviously that right now he's in the middle of what's called deception. He went to the top, he went to the bottom, he told the top that the halacha is like Rav, he told the people at the bottom of the river the halacha is like Shmuel, and then Adahachi.
Correct.
The field of Abaye was somewhere in the middle. Adahachi, and meanwhile, Sachar, Miskar, Vashke. And so what he'd do now is, so he stopped up the river, he diverted the river into Abaye's field, so that Abaye's field now will get irrigated with the canal water, and I guess it made the job even that much easier. Anyway, Kiyasa, Lekamida Abaye, so he goes down in front of Abaye, Amarle, Kebetre, Avadatali. Abaye obviously wasn't happy about this. Abaye's reaction was, what are you doing? You go over to one and you say the halach is like one. You go over to the other and say the halach is like the other. It's inconsistent. It's a deception. What are you doing? And the Gemara says as an act of, now it's either Shura Sadin or it's Chasidus. I'm not sure where to categorize the halacha, but basically what Abaye did is, Abaye did not eat from the field. He felt that water was illicitly drawn from the river because of the deception that was done by this other Amara. So Abaye would not eat the fruit of that field for that year. Hanu b'nei chamecha da'azol karu b'reisha dishanvasa v'ahadju v'shadju b'shilei nahara. So here a picture is definitely worth 1,000 words more probably. Basically you have a community where a field owner where they took the river and not just draw the water into their cistern, but literally created a path so that the river would be diverted. So basically the river took a U-turn, meaning out from the river, back down, back across, and so basically created a totally new path for the river to flow. The river still kept going, but they made a diversion of the river. So now the people upstream, so they said, you know, the diversion is adversely affecting our field. Upstream.
If it already passed upstream.
I know, but I'm just I kind of with you, but it says upstream. So also Eli, I mean the Gemara says Eli. I'm with you, but yeah, okay. So the people upstream said, you know, they're a diversion, so it's creating now. It must be some sort of backup where they created that diversion, and that backup now is flooding our field. So Amar Lahu Karu Bahadayu Tvei Porta. So the solution that Abaye gives is that, okay, so here's what you're going to have to do. On the turn, meaning on the upstream turn, when they diverted the water, so it must be that there's just simply too much pressure in that area, and you want to relieve some of that pressure. So what you're going to have to do now is they're going to just dig a little bit deeper into the river in order to relieve some of that pressure. So Amrle Kayafshi Peirin. So they say to Abaye, well, that's not a good solution, because if we're going to dig into the river a little upstream from the diversion, so that means that the water level is going to go down a little bit, and that means that it's not going to go into our cistern. So so he says to them, you're going to have to remove yourselves from this position, meaning you're going to have to, he tells the people who diverted the water, you're going to have to end your diversion, meaning you're adversely affecting other people's fields based on your diversion of the water. It's hazik, it's damages, and you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. So he tells the people who diverted the water, you have to allow the water to free flow as it originally did. So there is two times on the sugya, we saw the argument. We saw it by Shmuel, and we saw it right now here as well, that when nature has a certain course, so if you manipulate nature, which adversely affects other people, so that you're not allowed to do that. I'm not.
Is the principle of zenene velo?
Yeah. No, well, this one's benefiting, but this one's losing. Meaning,
right.
it's hezek. It's hezek. Right. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the takana of the Mishnah of who is going to be able to divert the water in order to fill their cisterns. So again, the simple pshat of the Mishnah is that the person at the top of the river, Rav Mishmuel, have a machlokas. The Gemara minimizes the machlokas to a situation in which if one were to divert, everyone else would be adversely affected. That's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And on that, the Gemara conceded. The Gemara concluded. Did not conclude. The Gemara conceded that we don't have a halacha over here. We don't have a mesorah and kol da'alim gavar. Next.
The way here it says that about the mamanas, why it's not like Shmuel, because Shmuel himself defended Rav.
That's a good svar.
That's why.
That's very good. Okay.
But we a lot of times where Amorim actually defend each other's
correct,
position
correct.
Without accepting it.
I understood. That's very good. Okay. Mitzudas chayav ofos v'dagim yesh behem. You set up a trap, an animal goes into that trap. So what did the Mishnah teach us? The Mishnah taught us that once the animal is in your trap, so then it's yours and no one else can take it. And then the Mishnah says, because of darkei shalom. And the obvious question, which we asked in the Mishnah, and I told you it was going to be discussed, and here it is right now in the Gemara, is what do you mean darkei shalom? If it's in my trap is mine, it's what we would call kinyan chatzir. If something enters into my property, it's mine. If something comes into my trap, it's mine. How can the Mishnah say that no one can take it because of darkei shalom? Or shouldn't the Mishnah say something more like nobody can take it because it's mine, and it's called stealing? So that's the question. So mitzudas chayva ofas v'dag miyesh b'hem v'chulei be'uzlei. Now the Gemara doesn't even formulate the question. The Gemara is going to make a distinction, and based on the distinction, we're going to understand. Be'uzlei v'oharei. Okay, these are, says Rashi, reishto shel chutin sheyesh lem toch. These are nets that have a toch, that have an inside. So meaning once the animal gets trapped in there, it gets trapped in there. It's in there. It cannot get out. So kuli amalo pligi. So then there's not going to be a machlokas whatsoever. Rashi, top of Samach Aleph and Aleph says, dikem d'yishlam toch, kind of like kelev, v'avigezel gamor. Once there's a toch to your trap, so now it's your trap. The animal's in your trap. So it's yours. Anyone who takes it, it's not darkei shalom. That's called gzela. That's stealing.
But is it considered your domain because you got a net sitting there?
I mean, if it's then someone else's property, so that's the discussion which we're gonna have in one of the babas.
Maybe,
but over here, let's say it's out in the field. It's in the reshut.
That's my question. If it's in public domain, right? And somebody puts a net there to catch, is it considered their domain now?
Yes. Yes, the simple answer is yes. So, kuli amalo pligi ki pligi belechi vikukari. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly, probably didn't. But anyway, these are traps, Rashi says. These are types of traps that basically they're laying down on the floor. It's not even that sophisticated. Rashi says, shar mitzudos v'mukhshalim shenostim chut aruch benahar v'chorzim bo machtim apnei kula. So, it's not so sophisticated. It's a string. It's some basically some hooks, some needles, and whatever fish gets caught on the hook, it's kind of like fishing, but not exactly, but whatever fish gets caught on the hook, so now it's yours. But here, it's not trapped in the net, it's, so over here, it's gzela, but it's only gzela medivrayim. It's darkei shalom. Okay. Metziyat cheir shot tevekat v'chule rav yosi amar gezel gamor. In the Mishnah, the cheir shot tevekat and pick something up. They don't make a kinyan on items. They don't have the das to make a kinyan on an item. Technically speaking, you can go over to the cherish and to the shota and to the khan. You could just simply rip it right out of their hands. But the Gemara says that's not going to create a society, and we need to create a societal norm. So therefore, the Chachamim said that the Tanakhama of the Mishnah says that if you take it out of the hands of cherish shota v'katam, katan, you're now in rabbinic violation of darkei shalom. To which Rav Yossi in the Mishnah says it's gezel gamor. Now, the position of Yossi is hard to understand, meaning they didn't make a kinyan on the item. It shouldn't be Gezel Gamor. So, Am Rav Chista Gezel Gamor Medivrayim. So, the Gemara says, in understanding of Rav Yossi's position, Rav Chista's explanation, it's Gezel Gamor Midirabanan. So now, so it's a funny, which is one second. So, that's a funny formulation, Gezel Gamor Midivrayim. What's the difference now between Darkei Shalom of the Tanakhama versus Gezel Gamor Midivrayim? We seem to be using terminology that basically is describing the same basic principle. The Gemara says, Lamai Nafgami. So the Gemara says the difference is going to be whether or not you could take somebody to court. So Rashi says, lo nafik b'dinehem, so b'dayanim. Meaning according to the Chachamim, you shouldn't take from the Cher Shot of Katan. And if you do, you're in violation of the rabbinic ban of Darkei Shalom. But then if you do, that's it. He's not going to be able to take you to court, nor is his custodian going to be able to take you to court. Meaning, you violated Darkei Shalom, but there is no recourse. Masha'en Kain, according to Rav Yossi, who describes it using the terminology of Gezel. Now, he's not arguing that it's a Din Torah, meaning he's not arguing that it's Gezel Daraisa, but you can go to court and you can extract, meaning this is a more formal act of Gzela if you do that. Yeah.
In this quarter, right? If they do hagba, isn't that considered kinyan? They have to have a daft, like to.
It does. You need an act of acquisition, and you need a kavana. You need an intent. Without an intent, then the act is meaningless. You have a poor person and he's banging on a tree in order to knock out some olives off the tree. So he didn't make a formal kinyan on the olives. And obviously, just to make the obvious point, we're talking about he's banging a tree that he's entitled to bang in order to get the olives from that tree. Right? It could be that's in the Peah area, whatever. In other words, but the point of the Mishnah is he didn't make a formal kinyan. He just simply banged on the tree. But it's kind of understood. He's banging on the tree because he wants the fruit, that he's going to knock the fruit down, and then eventually he's going to go pick it up. Now, let's imagine. Somebody else is watching, runs over, grabs the fruit, and now you have the beginning of a fight. So once again, the Mishnah's point is Darkei Shalom. So in order to keep the peace, so basically, even though the Ani who was banging on the tree didn't make a formal kinyan, everybody back off the fruit. That fruit, even though he didn't formally acquire that fruit, that fruit midarkei shalom is going to belong to him. That's what we learned in the Mishnah Tana. Now, the Braisa teaches us that once he puts a hand on the fruit, it's his, and as a result of that, anyone who else takes it is now in violation of gezel gamor. Now, it seems to be a pretty obvious point, and in fact, it's even a little bit difficult to understand what's the chiddush of this Braisa. Maybe Tosos helps over here. Tosos on the top of Samech Aleph Amanal, if he writes, Nira de Itzrech Lashma'unan, B'talshim B'yado, Umapilan, Afa Pishlonit Avu, and Shlonit Atvu B'yado, Velo Achaz Behem, Ela Lahapilam. So Tosos says, maybe over here the Chiddush is as follows. What'd he do? He went to the top of the tree, quickly grabbed the fruit, threw it down, grabbed the fruit, threw it down. Meaning he didn't hold it in his hand for a significant amount of time. Tosfos says that's the chiddush of the Braisa. That even though it wasn't a formal, I'm picking it up to be kona, I'm throwing it off the tree, but once he's handling it, maybe that English word is like perfect over here in this scenario. Once he's handling it, literally handling it, now it's formally his, and taking it is not just a violation of Darkei Shalom, that's Gezel Gamor.
If this fruit drops down and isn't for Amot, isn't because it is Chatzer?
Well, he's... Dal Amos is only Dal Amos is only Kona Birshas Harabim. So he's on somebody else's property right now. So the only way he's going to make a formal kinyan is by Hakbah, by picking it up. So, Rav Kahana Havaka Azal Lohutza Chazialu Gavda Veshade Ufya. So the Kanatran Tamri. The Gemara tells the story. Rav Kahana goes to the town of Hutzal. He sees a person banging on the tree. The fruit is coming down, and the dates are coming down. Azakam Mankiv Achal. Now, Rav Kahana, now this is odd, and I'm just going to admit it, it's odd. Rav Kahana takes the fruit and starts eating the fruit. Now, Rav Kahana knows the Mishnah, and he understands Darkei Shalom. What's he doing taking the fruit? Unclear. Okay, I'll just leave it like that. It's unclear why Rav Kahana is doing that, but he does. So, Amalei Chazimar Debiade Shadisinu. So, the Ani says to Rav Kahana, wait 1 second, slow down. I handled the fruit. It's not just I banged on the tree. I handled the fruit. The fruit were in my hands. And we just learned in the Braisa that once you handle the fruit, it's now mine, not just Darkei Shalom mine, but mine, and it's Gezel mine, so you can't take it. So Amalei Ma'asri Darav Yoshiasa, Kari Alev, Tzadik Yisod Olam. So Rav Kahana was so impressed with the Ani's knowledge of Halacha, and he says, oh, you're from the town of Rav Yoshia, Tzadik Yisod Olam. Rav Yoshia is a Tzadik Gamer. Rav Yoshia makes sure that with his community and with his Balabatim, he teaches them Torah, and he knows, and they know the Halacha. And so he this Ani, you're right, he
takes for you.
Right,
he's
pay him back. He didn't say, well, I'll pay you back. What did he do?
I guess he's, well, in terms of, I know this. He stopped eating the dates, that much I know. Do you make a reimbursement on the other? I'd like to think so. Right. You know, I can only work with whatever the Gemara tells me. Okay, fine. The Mishnah goes on to say that you have the Aniyim, and some of them are Jewish, and some of them are not Jewish. The Mishnah says that's fine. Allow Aniye Nachrim to collect with the Aniye Yisroel. Tanur Rabbanim Mefarnesim Aniye Nachrim Im Aniye Yisroel. You could support the poor of the non-Jewish together with the poor of the Jewish. The Kovrim Mesi Nachrim Im Mesi Yisroel. So these acts of Chesed that are the mitzvahs to do it for Klal Yisrael, but there's also an inyan of Darkei Shalom to do it for Klal Yisrael and to do it for the Goyim as well, in terms of tzedakah, in terms of Bikur Cholam, in terms of Kvura. So Meisin Achrim Im Meisin Yisrael Im Mei Darkei Shalom. An important, and so it's an important Rashi over here to point out. Im Meisin Yisrael, Rashi writes, last Rashi right before the Mishnah, Lo B'Kivrei Yisrael. So Rashi says we're not talking about burying the non-Jews together with the Jews. Element Askim Behem Im Matzum Harugim Im Yisrael. It's just to be misasik, just to be involved in the burial. The non-Jews need assistance with burial, so that you could do. But to, the Gemara does not mean that they could be buried.
Could take care
of it. Not only could, but Darkei Shalom indicates that he should, but not to be buried together. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. Mashal isha lechaverta hachashuda ala shvius. You have a neighbor, and to be frank, she's not that religious. And I'm not I'm not judging. But the Mishnah over here gives a simple scenario in which it's the Shemitah year, and it's past the time of Bir. You know, during the Shemitah year, so the parents have Kedusha Shvius, which means that up to the time where it's still out in the field, so people are entitled to eat it. After that time, there's a mitzvah of what's called Bir Perish Shvius. Now, it's not perfectly clear, to be honest, exactly what Bir means. It's a machlokus amongst the Rishonim. Either, like by Pesach, Bir means destruction, or Bir means hefker. Okay, but for our purposes, we don't need to be that involved. All we need to know to understand the Mishnah is that there comes a certain point in time where you can't hold on to the fruit of the Perishvias. You have a neighbor, and they're in what is almost clear violation of this rule, right? They're suspected. When the Mishnah uses the word suspected, means we all know. We all know that. We all assume that. So anyway, so we know. So now you know your neighbor is not careful about their performance of Perishvias, of the Kedushas Perishvias. So she comes over, she knocks on your door, she says, "Can I borrow? Can I borrow nafa, kaver, rechaim, tanur? Can I borrow basically equipment in order to process the food?" So one would imagine that before reading the Mishnah, you'd say, before the Mishnah, you'd say, "Look, I'm really sorry. I know what you're going to do. You're going to take my equipment and you're going to use it for food that you shouldn't be using it for." And so basically now what does that mean? I'm aiding and abetting somebody to violate the Isser of Kedusha Shvius. And so I'll say to you, "I'm really sorry, but I can't do it. And I apologize, and you know I feel terrible, but I can't help you violate Isurim." Now, just a word of introduction. We know the Torah says, "Lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol," that you are not allowed to give to somebody Isurim biyadayim. You're not allowed to hand somebody an Isur. This is not exactly that. Handing somebody Isur means, here's a piece of meat that's not kosher, I'm giving it to you so that you can eat it. Right? And we also know that if there are other ways of him obtaining it, so even then it's not officially Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol, it's Misayeya. Here, it's not Lifnei Iver, but it's something closer to Misayeya. By me giving her the equipment to process the food, so basically I'm helping, aiding, and abetting her by doing so. So I would have said before the Mishnah, "Well, don't do it. Don't lend it to her. Apologize, be nice, but don't lend it to her." The Mishnah is coming to tell us you can lend it to her. So, Mashal Sishloch Haverta, Hachashudal Shvias Nafa V'Kavav Rechaim V'Tanur. So you can lend her all these types of equipments: a sieve, a sift, a millstone, and a small mill, and an oven, a small portable oven. These are all the equipment you can lend her. Aval lo savor velo titachinima. Don't actually do the work together with her, because then you are beyond misayeya. You're giving her a good pat on the back, saying, "Good, keep going, keep violating the Isser." Now, why can you lend her the equipment? So Tosus basically says, okay, it's longer. I'm shortening. I'm simplifying. But Tosus basically says, look. Well, first of all, right, Darkei Shalom, correct. But also, you're giving her equipment to process food. There is more food out there than just a pair of shvias. She doesn't have to necessarily use the equipment that she's borrowing for her pair of shvias. She could be using it for something else. Misayeya, and the Isser of Misayeya, is when you know that what you're giving to somebody will be used for Isser. Here, you don't know. There's suspicion, but at the same time, it could also be used for something which is mutter. So if you're lending something which can be used for Isser and can be used for Heter, so basically what the Mishnah is teaching us is, for the purposes of Darkei Shalom, it's legitimate. Eishes chaver mashal leisha ama aretz nafa v'kavra uboreres v'tochenes merkadesima. When you have the eishes chaver, or the wife who is someone who is careful about the performance of the halacha, and next door to her is the wife of an ama aretz. So there you can lend her nafa v'kavra and boreres v'tochenes merkadesima, and you can work together with her. Ava mishatato samayim, but once the produce goes into the water, And we know that once it goes into the water, now it's mukshar lekabel tuma. It's susceptible to tuma. And we know the Eishes Am Haaretz is not careful about tuma tahara. So lo siga ima lefi she'in machzikin yidei over avera. So now, once the produce goes into water, and now once it's mukshar lekabel tuma, so now when she touches it, she's going to be metameid. By you being there, you're going to be machzik yidei over avera. So at that point in time, you stop. So basically, the Mishnah says, you lend to her and you help her as much as you can, but once you get to the point where there's going to be a violation of tumah, so then you have to stop. And again, the Mishnah gives a summary statement of this is a function of Darkei Shalom. You can support Nachrim during the Shemitah year, but not Yisrael. We're going to discuss this line later. Meaning not today, and then v'sholem v'shlomem and be'ekad darkei shalom, and you can ask about their well-being as a result of darkei shalom. And once again, that also will be discussed in tomorrow's daf. Let's start with the Gemara. Maishna reishna maishna say for the Gemara says here I'm a little bit confused. When it comes to your neighbor who is not careful about Shemitah, so the Mishnah says you can lend her the equipment, but you can't go over there and you can't help her. When the Mishnah presented the second scenario of the Eishes Chaver and the Eishes Am Haaretz, so there the Mishnah says not only can you lend her the equipment, but you can go over there and you can help her out. So the question, what's the difference? So Maishan Rishon Maishan Sefer Amar Abai Rovem Me'aretz Vastrin Hain. So Abai says, look, in the first case, we're talking about a woman who's going to violate Shemitah. She does. Again, I know the Mishnah's language is Chashuda, but let's just say it. She violates Shemitah. So you know it. So you can lend her the equipment for the reason we already explained, but you can't go there and help her. You're being machzik over Avera. Fine. In the second case of the Mishnah, we're talking about an Eishes Am Haaretz. Eishes Am Haaretz, meaning they know. They know about Shumas and Maestros. They're mafresh Shumas and Maestros. And most of them do. And yes, some of them don't. And yes, when you buy Paris from an Am Haaretz, so you have to, we call it Demai, and you have to be stringent, and you have to take off Shumas and Maestros. But that's a Chumar de Rabbanan. Fundamentally, most of them take off Shumas and Maestros. So that's... But even Maestro, we do it as a stringency, but most of them do. Rava Amar Hacha Ba Amar Tzura Meir Vitumah Vitahar Derabanan. So the Gemara says Rava gives a different answer. He says no. When we moved on to the next case of Eishes Chaver and Eishes Am Haaretz, the issue was not Trumas and Maestros. The issue is Tumah Tahara. And here's an understanding. D'tanya, first of all, let's learn a brisa. Ezo amaretz kol she'en ochel chulin b'tahara. Divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, what qualifies a person to be an Am Haaretz if they don't eat their chulin in a state of tahara. As we discussed time and again, your chulin can be eaten in a state of tahara. Truma cannot be. Let me say it better. Your chulin can be eaten in a state of tumah. Truma cannot be eaten in a state of tuma, but chulin can be. But still, you want to be somebody who is more careful about the performance of halacha, so you make sure to eat your chulin in a state of tahara. And if you don't, so according to Rav Meir, you qualify as an Am Haaretz. That defines you as an Am Haaretz. The Chachamim omrim kol she'ein amaser perasav. And according to the Chachamim, if you don't take off Shumas HaMaisos. But we're right now, according to Rav's explanation, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Meir. Once you eat your chulin in a state of tumah, so then you qualify as an Am Haaretz. The Hamid Diktani say for Mishatato Samayim Lo Siga Imam Mechal Dereisha La B'tumah V'tara Skina. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Abaye's explanation seems to be a little bit better. Because Abaye says that, what's the difference between Reisha v'Seifa? So Seifa's talking about Trumas and Maestros. And most Amei Haaretz take off Trumas and Maestros. That's the difference. Rava says no. The Reisha's talking about Tumah, the Seifa's talking about Tumah. Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. According to Rava, it doesn't seem that way. Because in the scenario of the Eishes Chaver and the Eishes Am Haaretz, what did we say in our Mishnah? We said that once you can go over there, you can lend her the equipment, you can help her out. Once she puts the produce in water, and once it's mukshar lekabel tumah, at that point in time, you must back away. Because now you're being, now tumah is going to happen. According to you, Rava, what do you mean? Now we're worried about tumah? Why weren't we worried about tumah earlier? So the, Michlal Dereish Alab B'Tumah V'Tahara Askinet. Sounds like prior to that point in time we weren't worried about Tumah Tahara. Reisha V'Seifa B'Tumah V'Tahara V'Reisha B'Tumah Schulin V'Seifa B'Tumah Schala. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe like this. maybe if the only concern was Tumas Chulin, so there Tumas Chulin is not as severe as serious. It's a mala, it's a chumra, so to say, in the world of a food, but it's not as serious. If all she's going to do is just be mitame or chulin, you can help, you can lend her the equipment, you can go and you can help her out, etc., etc. And then when we got into the sefer, we're talking about chala. Chala is true, it's truma. Being mitame chala is just as much of an offense as being mitame truma. It's an issa d'araisa. And that's where the Mishnah is drawing the line. Or in the Gemara says, but I'll pose the following contradiction. And that is, we're now on the top of Samach Alpha and Beis Tochnin. Umafkinen Eitzel Ochle Shvias Eitzel Ochle Perasim Betoma. You can grind and you can deposit your food by somebody who is suspected of violating Shemitah and somebody who eats the fruit in the state of Toma. Avalol Ochle Shvias Valol Ochle Perasim Betoma. But you can't. But you can't grind together with them. So neither with those who violate Shemitah, and neither with those who eat the fruit in the state of Tumah. Amar Abaye, Hasan Bekona, Chashal Echol Tumah, B'Tumah Skinan. So Abaye says, well, over there we could be talking about a Kohen who's suspected of eating his Tumah in the state of Tumah. Da'avalei Tumah Daraisa. So once again, in order to defend the position of Rava, we could just simply suggest that over there we're talking about Tumah Daraisa. Ihachi, Mafkinan, the Gemara says, well, really, we're talking about somebody who's violating Tumah Daraisa. So then, let's think about what the Bryce just taught us. It said that you're allowed to deposit your food by them. Or remember, the Gemara says, but on that, I'm going to pose a question. Mafkin and Truma Eitzel Yisrael, Am Haaretz Velo Eitzel Kohen Am Haaretz Memnei Shalibu Gaspa. You can't take Truma and put it by a Kohen who's not careful about the way he conducts himself regarding Truma, because he's going to be Metameit. Amar Belai Hachem Amai Skin and Beklei Cheres Amukav Tzamit Psil. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking there where you deposit the Truma, but you put it in a Truma proof container. A earthenware container that has a lid on top, sealed, and we know that once it's sealed, so then the contents are not going to become tameh. The Gemara says, okay, but his wife's going to pick it up, and that is a transmission of tumah known as tumas haset. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to make a distinction between fruit that was mukshel kabel tumah, where there the coin touching it will be betameh, versus fruit that was not mukshel kabel tumah, where there it is not yet receptive to receive tumah. The Gemara says that's the distinction. Okay, we'll pause over here. So again, we finished up the basic discussion of the Gemara regarding Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaalpeh, the bris that was made over Torah Shebaalpeh. The Gemara then went on to discuss all the other Darkei Shalom institutions of our Mishnah, Erev in the same house, who's entitled to divert the water, and the traps that were set, and stealing from children, and giving staka, bikur cholim, and kvur sameis for both Yisrael and for Gaim as well. And then the discussion that we continue with is having a neighbor whose standards of halacha are not up to your standards. So because of Darkei Shalom, so various allowances, lending her food equipment, helping her out. And now what we're trying to do is just trying to segregate when you can and when you cannot.